Megillas Esther, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Ches, with the commentary of the Vilna Gaon. You have it, the Gra there? So the context here is Haman has already got permission from Mordechai, from Achashverosh, to kill the Jews. Mordechai already knows about it, and he's gone out to the Shar HaChatzer. Esther has seen him there, is getting all nervous. What's going on? Why is he not coming in? Why is he wearing his clothing? She sends out Hatach, and Hatach tries to encourage, well, initially they try to encourage him to change clothing. He doesn't agree. Eventually she tells about the decree and about the money that was given and the permission that Haman has. And now in Pasuk Ches, the fact that it says, Shushan lahashmidam, ונתן לו להרות את אסתר ולהגיד לה לצוות עליה לבוא על המלך. So there's a few things happening in this passage. He's showing her the decree. He's telling her what it says there. And he's instructing her that she has to go before the king in order to plead with him. And in other words, and request in front of him. See the two words there? להתחנן לו ולבקש מלפניו for her nation. Now until this point, Ahasuerus doesn't know what nation Esther is. He leaves it to her to figure out how to do it. In fact, according to his instruction, it sounds like she should go right in and say that she's Jewish. That's what it sounds like. Go right in and say you're Jewish, and then immediately say you're Jewish and ask him to plead with you. And Hatach goes and says all this to Esther, what Mordechai says. Vatomer Esther laHatach, and she says back to him, and we'll pause there for a second and we'll start seeing the ground and we'll go back as we need. You ready? So we're on Ches. Letzavot alea, ki hu haya yodea shehi tzadekes gedoyla. Mordechai knew that Esther was very righteous. Ve'eino rotza laleches b'rotzon l'chashverosh. That's some more of the background. Mordechai was married to Esther before this story happened. And when she was taken, she was being raped by Achashverosh. Halachically, she was anus, what the Gemara calls karka olam. She didn't even exist in the act. There was no rotzon in the act.
I'm gonna flip this out one.
Right, okay. You've learned bit, young. And therefore, as long as she was in that state, then she actually wasn't doing anything wrong. She was being forced to do what she needed to do, and she was still committed to Mordechai. The Gemara even says an amazing, wondrous thing, that she would be with Achashverosh and then she would go to the mikvah. What honor we're giving to Torah? She would go to Achashverosh, she would be with him, then she would go to the mikveh in order to cleanse herself, and then she would come back and be with Mordechai, even when she was married, which is phenomenal when you think about it. But she could have got killed for that. But she was still married to Mordechai, and she continued being married to Mordechai despite that. But now when he's saying to go, and going means she's going to have to be willing to accept that he didn't call her to have relations, but she's now initiating it by coming to request him. That's what's going to happen. So that means she's going to be forbidden to Mordechai for the rest of her life. Kashra avadati avadati. I'm going to be lost. No? What do you say?
Machlokes.
If she'll be forbidden to him if she goes baratza?
No. Like, if she was because of that, she wasn't married to him.
So okay. Lechem tziva aleha.
Or Shlomo Friedman Shir.
Wait, today?
No. Previously, came up with Daf Gimel.
The kaven shetziva aleha bevadai ein overes atzvi Mordechai. So he knew that she was a big tzaddikus, and she would want to go willingly to Achashverosh, and therefore that's why the Megillah uses the language that he used, letzavot aleha. A tzivui is a commandment. It's not a request. It's a commandment. He was forcing her. You have to, I'm commanding you to do this. Kevan shetziva aleha bevadai ein overes al tzivui, because he knew that she wouldn't refuse him. And this was needed for the nation. It has a double language, litchanen lo ulevakesh. Request from him and plead and request. Perush, shetomar, shebishvil china, yaseh zot, shamra im matzati chein beinecha, v'shetevakesh minim ma'od. So the titchanen isn't just a regular pleading, but he's telling her what to say. He's saying you should say, if I find favor in your eyes, because chein is where you're not worthy of something. You don't deserve it. but they're going to go beyond the letter of the law for you. So she was asking Ahasuerus, I know I'm not worthy of it. I'm not saying I'm demanding this from you as my husband. She's saying, I know that this is not something that I'm worthy of, but if I find favor or something which doesn't make sense, just I don't know why I like you, I just like you. I can't explain it. It's just a chain. It's a chain. What's a chain? It's not logical. You did this thing for me and therefore I'm grateful to you. It's just there's a chain that you have. So ulit chanein lo means to request chain in his eyes, which is what she did eventually, as the Gra quotes. Kol avde ha-melech v'am medinot ha-melech yodim asher kol ish v'isha asher yavo la-melech el chatzer ha-penimit asher lo yikara achat dato la-amit. What are you asking me to do? To commit suicide? You know, like all the servants know, and all the people of the world know, that any man or woman who comes before the king into the inner chatzer, who wasn't called, he is killed. Unless, of course, and he knows this already, but she's reminding him of it, which is informing us also in the way of the Megillah, what we need to know. Unless he extends his, scepter, made of gold, then they can live. But I haven't been called, so she says. Why is she mentioning Avdei HaMelech? Why is that relevant? He's a kavod le-Torah. Perush, shamra shelo to'il. You think I'm going to go in and it's going to help something? It's not going to help anything. I wasn't called. Adraba titkalkel. On the contrary, it will ruin it. It will make things worse for the Jewish people. Ki mefursam, because it's well known that anyone who goes in without being asked is to be killed. Uvedavar mefursam yeh yoter takala. So why does she mention... Why does she mention all the servants of the king know and all the people know? Why is she mentioning that point? The Gra is amazingly medayik in the Megillah. Why is she? He knows that and she knows that. Why does she need to tell him that everyone knows? You know and I know and everyone knows. Why do you mention that? Because if you're trying to convince something of someone, he's asking her, go and convince Ahasuerus not to. But you can't do it if everyone knows. If no one knows that I had a plan to do something, and then I want to retract on my plan, that's fine. No one knew. But if I tell the whole world my plans, this is my plan, is everyone here, my plan? And then it's very embarrassing for me to have to go back and everything once everyone knows. Everyone knows that if you go in front of the king without being called, you're going to be killed. So the king's not just going to like mavater. He's going to have a hard time just letting that go because that's something very well known. He's going to be giving up of his own rules. So that's why she mentions that kol avdei ha-melech, everyone knows this matter. It's going to be very hard. Or then furthermore, ani lo nikreti, I haven't been called to the king. She's trying to say, let's buy some time. He hasn't called me for a while. She's trying to push it off for two reasons. Number one, I'm probably going to be killed. And number two, he hasn't called me for a while. I'm anyway going to be called soon. So why do I have to initiate it and then risk the chance of death? And that's why she said, ani lo nikreti levo ala melech ze shloshim yom. What was she saying by that? Why did she add that line? I haven't been called for a day. She says, he's probably going to call me tomorrow or the day after. Why should I rush to go in? And if you think about it, when was the decree for? Adar. What month are we in now? Nisan. Meaning this decree is in 11 months. There's no rush. And what I said, you have to go in now. But I'm going to be called soon. It's been 30 days since he last called me. And then we have 11 months. What's the rush? No, you have to go now. What does he answer her? That's what she tried to plead with Mordechai to be given some time to go in. Could save her life. What does Mordechai answer her? Yomer Mordechai lahashiv el Esther. He's not going in. Why is he not going in to talk to her directly? He's not willing to take off his sackcloth and ashes. He's still in a state of mourning, not willing to let that pass. Oy, 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 oy. I know that's Echa, but that's like the feeling you have, right? Don't think you're going to escape. Don't think you're going to escape it. Now, this line is one of the most confusing lines that you could ever read in the Megillah. Now, just pause for a second before we read the commentary, okay? Is this line encouraging her to go or saying, don't worry if you don't go? You ready? I want everyone to vote on this. Im hacharesh tacharishi be'et hazot, revach v'hatzala ya'amod liyudim imakom acher, ve'ato beit avich tovedu, ומי יודע אם לעת כזאת הגעת למלכות. See, what do you think? Is this encouraging her or saying, don't worry, it's fine if you don't?
Until you got to the Im La'et, it sounds like it's okay. And then the Im La'et has already got the Malchus. It's an opportunity.
Yeah. So what, which is it?
Split. I mean, it's obviously the latter. I mean, it's you have to go. This is it. But
then the first part's a bit strange.
It's mash me up.
What do you say with that?
So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah? You're
lancing? I think just push up shot in the pasuk, he could argue that he's not pushing her in either direction, but making her decision. What decision? The option, her option's very clear to her, and then she can make this decision herself.
So what's he saying, actually? He's saying?
He's saying, you have options. You can wait, and then it'll be fine. And whatever, you'll be wasting your opportunity, but it'll still be fine. Or you could take the risk and use the opportunity that Hashem probably gave you. But it's really your decision. I'm giving you the pros and cons of both sides.
Phenomenal. And what about the middle part of the puzzle? You all commented on the first and the third part, but there's a middle part also. If you're quiet at this time, then the Jews will be safe from somewhere else. That's part one. Part two, and you and the house of your father will be destroyed. That's the middle section. And then, who knows if this is the moment you came to Malchus for? So part one is definitely saying, don't worry, someone else will help us. Part three is definitely saying, this is your opportunity. What's part two say? What is it? Which way is it?
There was a...
You spoke already.
Yes. Sounds like...
No, I want to give you another chance, because last time he disagreed with you, so I want to... He'll disagree with you again. I want to give him a chance. Go on. What is it?
Not that... I guess he's... It sounds like he's like pushing her on to like, yeah, you could wait and you're successful, but as in, if you wait, it's not going to be as you're going to be missing out on something if you wait.
Yeah, and not only you, but
and your family,
your whole family. So what do you want to add?
Very good.
So we see the girl. You ready? You want to add anything else? Isn't it a perplexing pasuk? We just read it in the Megillah, we just kind of carry on with it. You stop, pause it. What does that actually mean?
It's still a very dramatic pasuk in the Megillah. We don't just read it.
Yeah, it's dramatic. But when you pause to understand what he's actually trying to say to her, what's the emotion he's saying? Like, what's the pushing? She could come out very confused. It could be like Rafi said, that she'll come out, he's asking me to be intellectually honest and make a rational decision. Or it could come out that he's empowering her one way and then empowering her the other way, and that's what I'm supposed to do. He's definitely, like you said, he's definitely pushing us to go. But not making it feel bad if he doesn't. Go on, what do you want?
I mean, Tovedo could either be a command or within the Im HaKharish Tachrish, that's the thing. Right?
So, Atav Beit Avich, what, is a curse?
No, not a curse, but a command. Like,
it's not
like,
a command.
Like, Tovedo. Like, at the end of the day, you
it's
have
a consequence.
You have responsibility to risk your, you have responsibility to risk your life. Okay, Tovedo.
I understand that's what the consequence may be, but you have to live up to it. You have to stand up to it. Okay, let's see the girl.
Why would the consequence be based on Avicha?
That's a good question. Why is it based on
Avicha? I mean, it'd actually be everybody.
But everyone else is anyway. Mm-hmm. And why would they... If he's saying everyone's going to be saved, then why will they not be saved?
Mm-hmm.
A very perplexing puzzle. Let's see what the Gemara has to say. V'yomer Mordechai, al tedami benafshech. Don't imagine to yourself. Ki Mordechai chashda shehi soveret she'ein. You have the Gemara? Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Gemara. Yeah, you got it? Hey, Rush. He Mordechai chashda shehi soveret she'ein omrim chet chateh b'shvil sheyizkeh chavercha. Mordechai was worried that she'd also heard an eonship, and that she held of the opinion that we don't say that you should sin in order that someone else should benefit. What's the classic example of that we have? If a girl is kissed, this is in the Shulchan Aruch. If a girl is kidnapped by gypsies and they're running away, and you can go and save her, but then you're going to have to go outside of the tchum on Shabbos. Should you A, say, I can't leave tchum, I can't sin? Or should you B, say, no, I have to save his life, even if I have to break Shabbos? She's not going to be, we're talking about a case where she's not going to be killed. She's going to be raised not Jewish. So it's not a pikuach nefesh, physically. It's a pikuach nefesh spiritually. So what do we say? Are you allowed to break Shabbos to save someone spiritually? Are you allowed to invite someone to your house on Shabbos if they're going to drive? It's the same question in a way. Are you, there, no, it's not. Are you allowed to drive to pick up someone to have an experience at your house on Shabbos?
The reason you're allowed to break Shabbos in order to save life, so it requires us, because then keep in the Shabbos. In Cain,
the Gemara says you're allowed to save someone on Shabbos. You're allowed to break Shabbos to save someone's life, even if it's only for Chai Sha, meaning even if they'll still die later on that Shabbos and won't do any mitzvahs at all. You're also allowed to break Shabbos because there's an inherent.
I recall hearing the Gemara says it's because they will come to keep the Shabbos.
That's on this piece. But that's not a halachic concept, what you just said there. Halachically, you're allowed, for physical, you're allowed to save someone's life physically, even though you know they will only be chai shah. They'll only live for another hour on Shabbos, and not even be able to do mitzvahs in the state they're in. Because there's an inherent kedusha of the neshama being there. And you can break Shabbos for the neshama remaining in the body. Just for that moment. But for spiritual, it's not so simple. There, because now you're doing an aveira. So what's better? You're doing an Avera, so they won't do Averas? Maybe you shouldn't do an Avera. Are you allowed to hug a woman if it's going to help her feel close to Judaism? It'll help. She'll feel close to Judaism. But you're doing an Avera, so...
Can one take a mixed camel?
I hear the question. That's not necessarily a chet, in itself, but at least... So, he was worried that she held that it's forbidden for her to sin, even if it's for the sake of saving others, but for others. He was worried that she held that she's not allowed to go and put her life in danger for the sake of others. That's why he said, you're going to die either way. If you go and you're killed, you'll die. And if you don't go, they'll discover you're a Jew and you'll die. V'lechein al titrapeh, don't slacken off, because that svar doesn't last here. You may even be right that the halacha is chata b'shvil shiyizkei chavercha. But here, there's either way you're going to die. If you're going to die either way, you have a chance of saving someone, you may as well save. That was his opening point. V'at obeit avich tovedu perush, kamo sheneemar, gam mitrapeh b'melachto, achu, Leish, lebal mashchit. If someone slackens off in their work, if you can function at 100%, but instead of functioning at 100%, you're lazy, and you only function at 70%, 80%. So is that destructive, or is it just not as productive? So we often think of it as just not as productive. I could have done more, but I did good. But the Pasuk in Mishlei says, mitrapeh b'melachto, someone who slackens off in his work, achu lebal mashchit. He's a brother, partner, equal to someone who's destructive. That's interesting, no? You have to take it with a pinch of salt. You have to know when to apply this and when not to. Some people, they hear this line, if I wasn't 100%, I'm destroying worlds, like I'm terrible, and then they start feeling bad about themselves, and then they end up destroying a lot more because then they destroy their self-esteem. And they're not productive at all. So you have to know when to handle it. But in this context, Perush, Im yesh biado latzil ve'enu matzil, lo dai she'enu makabel sachar, elu kamo horeg. Esther, if you have the opportunity to save someone's life and you don't just say, oh, I missed an opportunity. It's as if you killed them. Like the famous Gemara says, if you live in this generation and you're able to do deeds that will bring the Beis HaMikdash and you don't, it's as if you're the generation that caused destruction. There's no parav in Judaism. Ain parav. There's meat and milk. There's good and there's bad. If you're not actively involved in doing good, where you can, it's considered you're doing bad. Esther, you're in an opportunity where you can save lives, If you don't, it's not just a missed opportunity. If you don't, it's as if you were responsible for the death. Because you're being given opportunity. So if you don't take it, you're going to be destroyed. Now he doesn't go into the point that the questions we were asking initially more, so let's just discuss it for a minute. In our own words. Because that was the ground. I'm going to go over to the... Do you have the Malbim also?
Yes.
Yeah, this pasuk is worth doing more research on. I'm going from Yud Dalet. The way that Mordechai saw it was, it didn't make any sense logically that Esther should be in the palace. It went against all logic. She was older, she wasn't a betula. She was Yerak Rokes. There were a lot of things against. She didn't want to go. She didn't put on makeup. There was a lot of things working against her. It didn't make any sense that he should choose her. But she was chosen. What did Mordechai see in that? Yad Hashem is that this decree has to be rescinded. It doesn't make any sense why all those events that would have happened until then would have happened if it wasn't for the fact that she was being placed as the right person at the right time to do this particular deed. So what did he see from that? He saw Hashem's plans to save us. Otherwise it wouldn't have caused all these events to have you there at the right spot at the right time. Which makes me believe, says Mordechai, that Hashem has decided that we're going to be saved. He's decided that. That's why he arranged all these events to take place as they are. It's not random that you're there. And whilst you're already there, why don't you do a favor for the Jews? It's, you clearly were placed there for this reason. So Hashem has decided that he's going to save the Jews. Do you want to be in or do you want to be out? Do you want to be part of history or do you want to be forgotten by history? I was thinking about it the other day. Someone in my much more broad extended family, second cousin, their grandparents moved to Israel and were traditional. Not religious, not secular, traditional. And they moved to a certain place and they had to make a decision to send their kids to a religious school or a non-religious school. They decided that they'll send to a non-religious school, and the father, the grandfather, he'll teach them Kiddush, he'll teach them basics of Shabbos, the basics. They themselves weren't Shomer Shabbos, but the basics, just to know what it means. He taught them never mitzvah parsha when they came to a mitzvah, so they would lay in shul. He taught them the basics. And that way they'll have a secular education. And the basics they'll get from the grandparents. From the parents. That was their decision. They had three kids. One moved to a kibbutz. One moved to the Dalai Lama. And one lives in Herzliya. Works in Hitech. The one that lives in the kibbutz, oldest child, toured Israel after the army. Met a nice Catholic girl in Canada and is now married to a goy living in Chutzat with non-Jewish children. Shem Yerachim. That's the only great-grandchild that they have right now. Not Jewish. You make a life decision. And it seems like there's not much of a big difference between them. It's not religious, not religious. Either way, we've been to Israel. We're doing good. Just like this school, that school. And when you look at the chain of events that take place, Catholic grandchildren in Chutz Aretz, Hashem Yirachem. If Kodesh Baruch Hu has put you in any place at any given time, you always have to ask yourself, what does Hashem want from me here? If Hashem has placed me here, what does He want from me? What can I do that will create the Kiddush Hashem in the situation that He's placed me? In any life situation. And then make a decision, because you have no idea what the effects and secondary and third effects will be. You make a decision at the right time and a whole generation could be saved. Adam Arishon was one man, and this baby born in Canada is one man, one baby. Oh, an entire world was lost from this decision that was made. I don't think it was just that decision, it was a decision, further decisions, but Shem Yirachem. My great-grandparents, at the same time in the same place, decided to send my mother to a religious school. Level of religiosity a generation of my grandparents was the same. I mean, the great-grandparents were both traditional. But that decision of that family to go to an undergraduate school and my grandparents to send to a religious school, generation and generation and generation, living in Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Torah. You have to ask yourself at any given point, if Hashem has placed me here, I have a mission here, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me now? Mordechai was saying to Esther, we can see there's a Yad Hashem taking place. That's clear. It's not natural or normal that you would be where you are. That's not the natural order of the world. That a nice Jewish girl who doesn't make sense according to the credentials of what they were looking for would end up there against her will. Doesn't make sense. You're part of a plan. A Kodesh Baruch Hu's plan. Take it or leave it. If you take it, then you will fulfill the mission of why Hashem placed in the world. And if you take it, at the Beit Avich Tovedu. Why? Because it's the whole reason why you and your parents and your whole dynasty came to this world for this moment. And for the next moment. Every moment. Sometimes you can just see it more clearly. Sometimes it's not so clear. Sometimes it's clear. Choose the school, this or that. It's going to Achrosh or don't. Sometimes it's not so clear. It's the learning another Seder. It's a learning another hour. It's learning another Russian. But for this moment you were brought to the world, you and your ancestors, all of generations came down to this moment. That you had to make this point and this decision. That's why it was all for. That's what it was all about. Recognize what moment you're in. So he says to her, I'm not worried about Am Yisrael. The same way Hashem did wondrous plans to get you in there, He'll make other wondrous plans and the Am Yisrael will continue in good health. After Hashem has given you a mila and given you the opportunity that you can be the one and you throw it away, then you have no purpose to be in this world. So Hashem arranged you to be in this world for a particular purpose, a particular mission. You have a job. And if you're not fulfilling your job, then you're fired. You're not going to be part of world history where we're supposed to go. Umi yodea im la'it kirtigat le'malchut. Don't think that later on you'll be able to come and you'll make it up. No, this is the moment. You have to make a decision now. Right now. If you're being called in and the calling is coming from this decree that came down into the world and you're in the position to rescind it, then if you delay and you say, oh, I'll take care of it later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you the job now. And if you ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then He'll ignore you. Sha'al yada, al yadech tiyeh teshuatam hayom. Ve'im tamtini ad lemachar avar zmanech. You come into the world for a particular moment to exist, to shine. That's your moment. That's your stage. And you're on the stage. This is your moment to be on the stage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged all the events of the world just for you at this moment. And Beit Avich, this moment. Hashem has other ways of saving the Jews, which He's going to bring tomorrow and the day after. The Mashiach is definitely going to come. He can come at any moment. So what happens if Hashem in one particular area decides that person is going to be... They can't be your coin. What happens... Okay, the three of us. Can be the Mashiach. We tried having Kohanim as the Melech in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't go down well. It was a bad ending to that story. So what happens if Hashem decided that... That any particular person is supposed to be Mashiach in any particular era. But then the generation weren't worthy. So what's going to happen then? So don't worry, Hashem has a whole lineup of 2, 3, 4, 5 I personally think that Yisrael Moshe is going to be the Mashiach. That's what I think. I think he's very fitting. But he's not old enough yet. So that means that I believe with Emunah Shleima right now that he's not the Mashiach. Because there has to be someone right now who's able to be the Mashiach. Right now. This moment. And if it's Yisrael Moshe, that means we have to wait till the mitzvah at least. Right? So that can't be right now. Right now it can't be that he's the Mashiach. It can't be. There's someone else in the world ready and waiting who could be the Mashiach the moment that Hashem would decide, yeah, they're ready. There's someone there ready for that moment. If that moment passes, there's someone else ready. Hashem's not going to let a moment go without someone being ready to the Mashiach at any given moment. So who is it? I don't know. It's up to you. You live up to it and the generation lives up to it. It'll be you. If not, don't worry. There's someone else always ready. At this moment, there's someone fitting. Esther, it's you. If you wait till tomorrow, it might not be you. There's going to be, Hashem has other ways of arranging everything and it might be someone else. Kamashal shal beit choref she'enot tzarich bezman kayitz. שכבר הוכנו סיבות אחרות לגידול הצמחים ותובדי אחר שתהיה מציאותך גדול על הבטל. So I'll pause there. But that message, if you just take that message out of Purim, it was worth having an entire Purim. You are going to be chosen every moment in your life to do a particular mission. Hear the voice of Hashem saying, "Ulai ka'et kazot, yigat le'malchut." This is the moment you're waiting for, and then chap the moment. Shokach.